More stress doesn't always equal higher salary. And if you bring home the stress along with the salary, is it really worth it? Hi, I'm Rob West. If you're bringing home stress along with your salary, maybe it's time to rethink the purpose of your work. Today, we'll see what it looks like to work as unto the Lord. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Some statistics claim that 54% of American employees are happy with their jobs. Then again, apparently 83% of us are suffering from work-related stress. Whether those are accurate numbers or not, we all know just from looking around that people are stressed out, and work is often the cause. So, what does all this mean for you? If work-related pressure is getting you down, what do you do? Quit? Retrain and change jobs? Grit your teeth and keep going? Well, let me suggest you step back and ask a different question. As a believer in Christ, why are you working in the first place? The desire to do productive, meaningful work is in our DNA. In fact, when God created Adam and Eve, He immediately set them to work, naming the animals and tending their beautiful garden. Unfortunately, along with everything else, work was twisted by sin after the fall. Now, instead of always being productive and satisfying the way God intended, work can literally make us sick. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, we see the key to rediscovering meaningful work. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Serving God in your work, whether your job is secular or not, is the key to contentment on the job. The verse says, whatever you do. So it's not the work itself that matters, it's the boss. And if you're a Christian, your boss is Jesus, not you and not even your employer. Okay, for those of you who like examples, let me show you someone who did her job as unto the Lord. We don't know her name, but her virtues are outlined in chapter 31 of Proverbs. She's referred to as a wife of noble character, but her actions and attitudes are worth studying and imitating no matter who you are. One characteristic of this Bible hero that stands out to me is what we might call her work ethic. Here are some of the phrases that describe this woman of noble character. You can ask yourself, does this describe me too? She works with eager hands. A person of noble character has a positive attitude towards work, knowing that diligence can produce many benefits. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family. The Bible makes it clear that providing for your family is a primary responsibility. She takes it very seriously. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Part of the biblical work ethic involves expertise, gaining useful skills and using them for the benefit of your family and community. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. This hero is aware that living well requires strength and determination. You don't get there sitting on the couch watching YouTube. She opens her arms to the poor. This woman of character is so successful in her work that she is able to be generous with her surplus. Are you working just for yourself or so you can help others also? She speaks with wisdom. A person of noble character develops enough experience to teach others. Her work ethic is the water that raises all boats because everyone benefits from her industry. She does not eat the bread of idleness. It's pretty clear that a biblical work ethic means not being lazy. And the most important quality of the woman of noble character is that she follows and honors the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Everything she does comes from a desire to serve God, and all of her success springs from this priority. We can learn a lot from the Proverbs 31 woman about working as unto the Lord. I encourage you to read through Proverbs 31 and make it a point to follow her example. Finally, as you consider your own job stresses, remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. You see, folks, we serve an audience of one. We're not playing to a chorus of men. We're playing to God Himself. And when that's the focus of our heart, it puts everything in perspective. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. We've all met this kind of person before. Ahead in the clouds, they're always thinking about something else. It can be frustrating. It seems like they don't live in reality. And many people think this is how Christians live. So heavenly-minded that they lose focus on anything else. Head in the clouds. That's why I'm encouraged by Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. He said he instructed the church how to live. And then he said, do this and more. It's not because I think we can earn God's love, but because Paul wasn't satisfied to have Christians live in the clouds. Live here. Honor Christ here. Show the world your faith. Jesus reigns. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
When love has no evidence, it believes the best. When the evidence is adverse, it hopes for the best. And when hopes are repeatedly disappointed, it just courageously waits and endures. That's real love.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The Power of Love, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and I'm ready to dive in and take your calls and questions today. We're talking biblical finance. That's right. How do we apply Scripture to the actual decisions and choices you're making every day as you live, give, owe, and grow? Putting God in His proper place as owner of everything, recognizing you're a steward and money's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We're to enjoy it. We're to provide for our families with it. We're to give it generously. But how do we do that in light of competing priorities? Well, we want to help you navigate that here today on Faith and Finance. We've got lines open. You can call right now. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin today in New York. Daniel, go ahead, sir.
Yes. First, let me tell you, I really appreciate your show. We try not to miss it. We listen to it every day.
Well, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, really do appreciate it. you did enlighten me at one time about the required minimum distribution for an IRA, which I do now, which works out very well. But my question today is, I have an accumulation of savings bonds, and I would like to donate them to the church. And they're older bonds, so they're, you know, they've reached their maturity, and then some. They're up to 31 years old.
Yeah.
I've got about 102 Series EE bonds and 4 HH bonds.
Wow.
I'm just wondering if I can donate them to the church and somehow avoid the tax consequence.
Yeah, boy, it'd be nice. Church.
So they could get the full benefit of it.
Yeah, well, I love the way you're thinking, Daniel. And, you know, typically you would be able to take appreciated securities and even bonds, some corporate bonds and even some government bonds, although not the savings bonds you're describing, and you'd be able to give them either directly or to the charity, or it's often more convenient to give it to a donor advised fund, which you lose control over it technically, but then you would initiate or recommend a grant from that donor advised fund to the charity of your choice, which would be your church. So you'd think of it like a charitable checking account. And when you make that gift, you would miss the capital gains, and then you could direct the money out through the donor advised fund. That is not available through savings bonds, unfortunately. Really, the only way to redeem savings bonds is to, in fact, redeem them. And when you do, the interest will be credited. It will be taxable. Then you could turn around and make the gift at that point. Now, if you itemize your taxes, so married filing jointly, that would be for 2023, $27,700 in deductions. If you get above that, above the standard deduction, and therefore itemize, then you could get the benefit of that by deducting the amount of the gift. If, however, you're taking the standard deduction, you would not get any benefit of donating to the church, just because, you know, you would take the standard deduction anyway, and therefore it wouldn't offer any benefit there. So unfortunately, you're a little limited in what you can do with a savings bond through the treasury, and giving those away prior to redeeming them is not an option.
What, when you say you pass away and these bonds are left in the estate, what happens to them then?
Yeah. Well, that would be the way to get the full value to the church, because when you leave them at your death, then they would pass according, you know, to your will directly to the church or the charity, and that would not be taxable, because unless you have a pretty massive estate based on today's standards of, you know, having to be north of $12 million, there wouldn't be any taxes due on that.
So you're saying that if I'd left them in my will, that they would get the full benefit of them.
That is correct. Yeah. Now, if you would rather them have that money now because they can use it, or there's a specific thing you had in mind, or it's a building campaign or a missions project, then, you know, it might be worth, you know, going ahead and making the gift. But you're correct. They would get the full benefit if they receive that through your will, as opposed to you redeeming them and paying the interest, the taxes, the tax liability triggered by the interest income. Let me ask you this, Daniel, how much do you think you would give in total?
Well, I'm thinking that because I've cashed some previously, because they're so old, you know, they're close to 30 years old, I'm saying that what I have is probably worth $25,000.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, most of that is interest. So, I mean, they would certainly get the better benefit if it was left in the will.
That is true. Yeah. So that would be one way to handle it. And you would, in fact, maximize the gift that's being given by giving it through the will versus paying the tax on the interest and then looking for the opportunity to potentially deduct it against income if you itemize on your taxes. So I think that's the consideration. Are you really, you know, convinced that they need this money sooner rather than later to put it to use in the kingdom? Or are you comfortable waiting a little while and therefore they'd get a little bit more money? So I think that's the decision point. The other thing I might mention is, and I suspect you're aware of this, but you mentioned you became aware of the RMD. That's great. Are you doing what's called a qualified charitable distribution? Have you heard me mention that term?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. Yes.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so that's a great opportunity for you to satisfy that RMD, that required minimum, and get that money directly to your church or charity. And when you don't need that money, when that's money you have no use for because your expenses are covered, boy, it's a great way to satisfy that RMD and not add to your adjusted gross income for tax purposes. So sounds like that's the decision point you need to make, but I appreciate so much that you want to be generous with these resources. It sounds like it's beyond, you've defined enough, and it sounds like this is beyond that. And so looking to get that into circulation into God's economy is a really good idea.
Yes, thank you for your help. That answers my question completely. Well,
all right. Very good. I'm glad to hear it. And thanks for your kind remarks about the program and for you and your wife being such a faithful listener. May the Lord bless you, Daniel, and call back anytime. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. Call right now with your financial questions. Let's go to Maryland. Hi, Eric. Go right ahead, sir.
Hi. So short question, a short version of it is, should I rent for my entire life or buy a house? 40 years old, if I was to save up, say, $100,000, I might be able to place a down payment on a house. But it's a large sum of money, and I'm wondering if it's worth that effort versus going into business.
Yeah. Well, those are both great things, and they really can't be answered at face value without just taking a step back and starting with your values and priorities as a believer. Where is God leading you? And then looking at both the financial and the non-financial aspect of this. I mean, all things being equal, I'd love for you to own a home as long as you're adequately prepared to make that purchase. And I typically would say that means you've got at least that 20% down payment to avoid PMI and have some equity in case the housing market turns down, and that PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment, the mortgage payment, is less than 25% of your take-home pay. And if so, then that'd be great. Let's, take the opportunity to build some equity and have another asset that's growing for your future. But you're putting that alongside starting a business, which I'm all for as well, if done properly. So let's do this. If you can hold the line, I want to process that a bit more with you just after this break. We'll be right back.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Most Christians only know the Bible at a surface level. We believe it, but do we really know it? I want to invite you to join the Wesley Institute presented by Wesley Biblical Seminary. The Institute's a 9-month program that will give you an in-depth understanding of all 66 books of the Bible taught by seminary professors. You can join live from anywhere in the world or watch the class videos on your own schedule. To learn more, visit wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'd love to hear from you today. What's your financial question? Is it related to your spending plan, your debt repayment? If you want to give generously, like our previous caller this morning, who wants to do that in a tax-efficient way, but also blessing his church, or perhaps you want to talk about starting a business or buying a home, like our most recent caller, Eric. Whatever it is, we've got lines open, 800-525-7000. Eric is calling from Maryland, and just before the break he was sharing with us, he's got these kind of two ideas that he's wrestling with. One is he's been a renter. He's 40 years old. He's never owned a home. He's thinking about, is this a time to buy? And I'm also considering starting a business. And so how do I think through the priority order of these two things? And Eric, I'd love for you to be able to do both, but certainly I want to make sure that you have readiness for both. I mentioned readiness for buying a home is that 20% down payment and making sure that mortgage payments fits into your budget, no more than ideally 25% of your take-home pay. So that would be kind of on one side of this. Now, home ownership is at its lowest in terms of the cost of home ownership. It's in its most challenging environment that we've ever seen, just because we've got now the median house price today, whereas in, you know, just 3 years ago it was at $300,000. Today it's more than $400,000. This is the median. And whereas we were at 3% interest rates 3 years ago, we're at 7.5% today. So that obviously is making home ownership more challenging, and we don't see prices really turning down. In fact, mostly just a leveling off of the rapid rise due to inflation and these high interest rates. But at the end of the day, we have a housing shortage of about 2 to 3 million homes in this country. So I love the idea of you owning a home. I just want you to be ready for it. Now, I also love the idea of you starting a business. If you know you've got a product or a service with a good market, you know your players, you have a plan, you've got a good brand idea, you face the fear of failure, which, you know, 65% of Americans want to start a business. Most don't, because they fear failure. And we want to be, again, financially ready. So you want to know, what are the true startup costs, and what are your startup expenses going to be on a monthly basis? And I'd love for you to have a full 12 months of those in the bank, so you give yourself plenty of running room, so you're not, you know, one of those small businesses that does fail, and 70% of them do. So, you know, as you think about these two decisions, which is, you know, really the more of the priority for you, and how are you processing this decision?
So for me, I think that houses are better suited to families. And there are several Christians who are saying it's your obligation to start a family. You need to have a wife and kids. I don't see that in my future, which is why I'm considering that it might not be worth me personally buying a home and living in it myself. I have worked in nursing homes, and I am realistic as to what I might need as I age. It's just, I'm going to be spending a lot of money on whichever direction I go. What are my responsibilities more like, should I cancel the business idea and follow through with what other people are saying about starting a family and getting a home and settling down kind of thing?
Yeah, wow. I appreciate that question and your transparency there. You know, I would tell you that if you look to Scripture, you know, although there's clear directives that tell us that it's helpful for man to not be alone. At the same time, I think singleness is perfectly appropriate, and I think that's between you and the Lord as to what direction He's leading. And we see plenty of example of God-fearing single people in the Bible that do incredible things for the Lord. So I wouldn't say that you have to go one way or the other. I think the key for you is to pursue the heart of God and lean into Him as your primary objective, and then see where He leads. And if that's ultimately to a helpmate, to a spouse, so that two can become one, and as one flesh, you can pursue God's best for you all as a couple, that's great. And then starting at a family would be wonderful. If that's not the direction He leads and you remain a single person, I don't think there's anything, well, I know, just based on my reading, there's nothing in the Bible that says you've missed something. That may be, in fact, what God has for you. And so, you know, I think that's the decision you need to make between you and the Lord. As to whether you buy a home, again, there's not a responsibility there. I think, you know, it in some respect, it becomes a math equation, just as we look at this decision in light of, you know, should I be sending money to rent when I could be putting the same amount into a home and building an asset that, I can have for the future that will appreciate, and then I could sell someday and have as a part of my estate to maybe fund my expenses in retirement as you maybe downsize at that point or something like that. But there's no requirement there by any means. And if God is leading you to start a business, and again, you've counted the cost and you really have thought through your business plan and you've got a really solid idea and brand strategy, and you've considered the other players and competition in the area, then I think that's a great thing for you to do. And if that prevented you from buying a home, but it was a real passion of yours that you felt like the Lord was directing you toward, and you felt like you had the financial resources to do it, well, then I would say go for it. I don't think there would be any reason not to do that just because you haven't found a wife and started a family or haven't purchased a home.
Rob, thank you. And before you move on to the next caller, I want to thank you for your ministry. And I also want to thank the sponsors for supporting you. Christian Credit Union has been an asset to me. And I use them as a blind savings account to help me control my finances.
Oh, wow. Well, that's incredible. Thank you for mentioning that. We are incredibly grateful for the underwriters of this program. They help us do what we do every day. And one of those is the one that you mentioned. We're incredibly grateful for Christian Community Credit Union. You know, more and more people, Eric, it sounds like just like you, are really wanting to do business with companies, organizations that share their values. And Christian Community Credit Union is one of those. You can learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com. Eric, God bless you. Thanks for calling today, and thanks for your kind remarks about the program. Call anytime. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program.
Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At FaithFi, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Check out all of the benefits of a FaithFi patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful you're joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've already covered a lot of ground, but we've got plenty more to go, and we've got lines open. That means we've got room for your financial question today. You can call us right now at 800-525-7000. Let's head to Illinois. Steve is a first-time caller, and Steve, go right ahead.
Good morning, Mr. West. Steve Kelly, let's see here. I sold a boat that I bought 7 years ago last year. Okay, I had a small gain on it of $1,200. Is that a taxable situation?
It is, yeah. So generally speaking, when you sell something, the IRS is really not concerned about it unless you have a gain. And when you have a gain, then it would either be treated as a short-term or a long-term capital gain. And at that point, you would report it on your taxes. So do you prepare your taxes yourself?
Yes, believe it or not, I do.
Okay, that's okay. So the IRS Schedule D, as in David, is the form used to report your capital gains, and it includes worksheets to help you determine your adjusted cost basis so you can properly report net gains and losses.
Even after 7 years, it's got to be reported.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter about the length of time you've owned it. What matters is whether or not you actually had a profit or not.
Okay, gotcha. I got you.
Yep. Yeah, so you would report that on Schedule D. Now they say the best days for owning a boat are the day you buy it and the day you sell it. Did that hold up in your case?
No, I think I should have gotten more for it, but I think that's how most people feel about when they sell something. You know,
it's great. All right, Steve. Hey, all the best to you. Thanks for being on the program today. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Montana, beautiful Montana. Hi, Brandon. How can we serve you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A tax question. I'm gonna receive a settlement for a Medicare fraud whistleblower case, and I'm probably going to turn around and invest a lot of that into real estate. And my question is there any way, such as an LLC or an S-Corp, that will save me on the federal income tax that I'm expecting to pay?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, there's only limited cases where that would not be taxable, and that would be where it's considered restitution. So in just about every case, funds awarded as, you know, punitive damages are considered taxable, and that would include your fraud settlement. Now, never a bad idea in a situation like this, which is out of the normal course of business, which certainly a major fraud settlement of this kind for Medicare would certainly qualify as out of the norm. It's not a bad idea to use a CPA in that year just to make sure you're reporting everything properly and taking full advantage of every opportunity available to you. But the general rule is this is going to be taxable. Then you'll turn around, and at that point, you could decide, you know, once you've paid the appropriate tax on this, you know, how do you move forward from there? And, you know, I think managing your tax liability from that point forward is going to be in part by how much are you going to give away, you know, which could reduce your tax liability. And then to your point, I think what is the appropriate business structure for you to set up if you are, you know, going to use this in some way to start a business? If not, then it's just a matter of turning around and investing it. And then you're, of course, going to have capital gains along the way, whether you buy real estate or stocks and bonds or whatever that might be. But kind of lessening that burden on the front end, there's probably not a whole lot you can do about that.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. That was basically my only question.
All right. Thanks, Brandon. God bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. We've got one line open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Mississippi, Steve, go right ahead, sir.
Good morning. Appreciate your program.
Thank you.
Question for you. I made a real estate purchase. I'm 70 years old. Had to borrow some money to do that. I've got about a dozen rental properties that are all paid for. Instead of keeping that debt, which is about $300,000, would I be wiser to sell two or three of the rentals and pay that debt off in full, and then, you know, as I'm able, purchase more rental properties?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there's a financial side to this, and then there's a non-financial side. The financial side is, you know, what is the interest rate you're paying on that? And, you know, how does that compare to, let's say, the growth rates you're getting in the asset that you would have to liquidate to pay it off? Because clearly with 12 rental properties that are owned free and clear, you're throwing off, I would imagine, a ton of cash. So servicing that debt that you have, that personal debt, is probably not an issue just given the cash flow that you have. Correct me if I'm wrong. But so if you've got plenty of cash, including plenty of surplus, then I don't think there's any problem in continuing to carry that debt. I think the two reasons why you'd pay it off would be, one, do you have a conviction to be debt free? And if so, I'd say then don't look back. Don't calculate the numbers. Pay it off. And that'll give you the peace of mind and help you honor your conviction, perhaps from the Lord, that you know, want to be debt-free. The second reason why you'd pay it off, if you didn't necessarily have a conviction to be debt-free right away, would just be because you feel like you can do better by paying it off. So, you know, whatever that interest rate is on that personal loan, you know, when you pay it off, you get a guaranteed return equal to that. And you just have to compare that against the expected returns on the asset you're liquidating to satisfy that obligation. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, prime rate now is right at 9%, 8 yeah. point something. So that's where I'm at there.
Yeah. So now, I think given that, I'd probably do it, because I can't imagine. Well, you're certainly not getting a guaranteed 9%, even though real estate has done well. So I think, you know, liquidating a couple of those properties and then, you know, satisfying this debt, which, you know, is now going to throw off more every month in the form of income, because you're not paying that mortgage every month. So that allows you to continue to build up a nest egg that perhaps could allow you in short order to go out and buy another piece of property.
Okay. All right. That's kind of what I was thinking, but I've always heard, you know, rental property, good investment, don't sell it and everything. But again, yeah. At my age and the interest rates and the economy where we're in, I just would feel better being totally out of debt.
Yeah, I think there's something about being debt-free. I would agree with you, Steve. I think, you know, there's just a peace of mind that comes with that, that, you know, being unencumbered gives you complete flexibility to follow the leading of the Lord, whatever he might be directing you to. And so, yeah, I think you could certainly make a case that financially you might want to hang on to it. But just given where interest rates are right now and given I think what I'm hearing in your voice, which I would concur with, just the delight you would have in knowing that you're completely unencumbered, I don't think you can put a price tag on that. So I would tend to lead in the direction that that you feel you're being directed as well.
Good deal. Well, thanks, sir, for this advice.
All right, Steve. God bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Well, folks, here in just a second, we're going to take our final break of our hour together. But Lori and Tasha, looking forward to talking to you on the other side of the break. So if you all can stay right there. And we will have a chance probably to get to one or two more phone calls beyond these two between now and the end of the program. So if you've got a question today, give us a call here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. The number to call, 800-525-7000. By the way, if you've found some benefit in this program and you'd like to support our work as a charitable contribution, you can do that at faithfi.com. Just click give. Faithfi.com. Click give. We'll be right back.
Love never pushes itself into the limelight. Love does not strive for a place or position. In God's program, we stoop in order to conquer. We kneel in order to rise. The way up in God's program is always the way down.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for Love's Power Over Selfishness on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We all have times of discouragement, but there is hope. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, I have good news for you. God is the God of encouragement, and God has a good word from His word to encourage you, to lift you up, and to change your outlook.
Learn the power of simply having a godly outlook. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head right back to the phones to Tasha, a first-time caller in Texas. Go right ahead, Tasha.
Hello, Mr. West. Thank you so much for having me, Jamie. My question is, hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. My question is, I want to open up a nonprofit 501c program for drug-addicted people coming off the streets and needing to become clean. I want to have deliverance happen in these people's lives, show them, you know, what God requires in the heart and get those things out. I am an ex-drug addict, and I know that God is calling me into this direction. It's been several years, and I want to implement deliverance, implement help, and exercise and get them. It's going to be called chemistry. That's what I want. Change the chemistry of the mind and the soul and the body towards God's will and His purpose for their lives because they have a destiny. Hallelujah.
Wow.
I just want to know how to do that.
I think you need to start with a little more passion for this. No, I'm just kidding, Tasha. You've got all the passion you need. And by the way, did you say that you've been delivered from?
Delivered, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Sir, well,
Praise the Lord that God has rescued you from this bondage.
Yes. I had several surgeries and things on my back. I began to get addicted to pain medication over years, and God was just pulling me, saying, no, this is not where I want you to go. I spent 6 years in the bottom, in the gutter, in a place where I knew I wasn't supposed to be as a child of the King. And then they put me on methadone. Methadone, people don't get off methadone. That's a government-given drug. They don't come off. God delivered me from methadone supernaturally and took the taste. I didn't have no withdrawals or nothing.
Wow,
that's great. Well, obviously you've got a story to tell and a passion, a burden on your heart, and that's a great starting place. You know, there's several things you need to do here, I think, in terms of where you go from here. The first would be to create a business plan, and I realize we don't want to put God in a box, and yet he gave us a mind to ensure that we're thoughtful about whatever he's leading us to do, and that's going to include where he leads, there will be resources available. And so I don't want you to go into and incur a bunch of debt in order to do something like this. I want God to confirm this on your heart in terms of not only the passion. I mean, obviously the passion is there. This is something that has been born out of your own personal experience and God rescuing you from bondage personally. And you want to share and help others with that. That's clear. But with that, I believe God's timing in part will be confirmed not only by the others around you that you trust, God-fearing men and women and people close to you that can affirm this calling on your life, but also your financial readiness, that God will provide the resources for you. And so we need to make sure that you do and have the funding. Then you're going to need to form the corporation and apply for tax-exempt status. And that's going to cost you several thousand dollars. It's going to take some time, but you're probably going to want to find a CPA who specializes in this. So I'd probably talk to your pastor or somebody at your church, find out who's a believer, who's a certified public accountant, who has some experience helping folks put all the documents together and put the filing together to file for that tax-exempt nonprofit status, 501c3 with the IRS. That's going to take some time. It's not going to be cheap, but it is going to be important if you want to be able to take tax-deductible charitable contributions to support your work. And then I think as all of that comes together, you've got the clear passion and vision for where the Lord is leading. You've confirmed that with other people that are wise counselors that also trust Jesus as their Savior that can confirm that. You've got your financial readiness and a business plan for how you're going to operate for this first year. And you've got a professional counsel that can walk alongside you to set up the corporation and get the tax exempt status, in place. I think all of those pieces, I don't want you to skip any of those in your passion. You know, the Lord, can use us, but we need to do it in his timing. And so I just want you to temper yourself and not get ahead of the Lord and find yourself, missing an opportunity to be a blessing to other people because you've kind of got out over your skis a little bit. So, and I'm not saying you're doing that, but I just want you to kind of walk slowly and methodically through all of these steps. So I think your next step is to evaluate your financial readiness, to talk to some people around you that can confirm this calling on your life, and to find that CPA that can help you with the nonprofit filing and help you determine what are your startup costs going to be, compare that to what you have available in your financial resources, and then get a full understanding of what it's going to take to get that nonprofit status filed and so that you'll be ready, once that comes to get going. So, Tasha, listen, all the best to you. We're going to ask our faith and finance community to be praying for you as you endeavor into this wonderful ministry. And we appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. To North Carolina. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question. We, my brother-in-law, left us some property when he died, and that was about a year ago, and we just recently sold it. How do we list that on taxes? Is that considered capital gains? And
it is. Did you have a profit? Do you have a sense of what the market value was as of the date of death versus what you sold it for? Do you think it's increased, not since he bought it, but since you inherited it?
Oh, okay. So it's since he died. when we inherited it. It's about the same price.
Yeah, so you're probably not going to have any capital gains. You'll want a CPA to help you establish that cost basis so you can, you know, be able to defend that to the IRS. But essentially, as long as you inherited this and it wasn't, you know, given to you by somebody placing you on the deed before death, but if it was, if you received it as an inheritance through a will or a trust upon the owner's death, then you get a stepped up cost basis, which just means that the cost basis is no longer what he paid for it. It's the true market value as of the date of death. And then that is your new cost basis to determine whether you have a profit or a loss upon the sale, at whether you turn around and sell it right away or you hold it for years following that. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. And is that Schedule D too?
Yes, that would typically be reported on Schedule D. But again, this is a good time for you to get a CPA and make sure you're getting some wise counsel here, just given that this is something a little out of the norm for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for
your ministry. You are welcome. I appreciate that. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000. We've got just a few moments left. We'll try to get to as many calls as we can. To Alabama. Hi, Jane. Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a question. My husband passed away in February. And, of course, when that happened, I'm 88. My Social Security ended, and I received his. Okay, it's not that much. I have a little money in savings. What I'm wondering is if there are any government programs to help me, such as with food stamps, or I don't even really know what's available. Is it all right to use that, or should I use up the savings first? I'm trying to keep those, so say if something happens to the house or, you know, I have to take care of those things.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Well, you know, I think the key is I would take full advantage of whatever is coming to you in terms of what options you have. I mean, I would, you know, contact, you know, local, see if there's any local government assistance there. I mean, clearly there are opportunities for food stamps if you qualify. Let's do this. I'm going to have Jane, one of our certified Christian financial counselors, call you if you're comfortable with that, and just go through your income and expenses and perhaps help you with a few ideas on how you can navigate, just given your husband's passing, and I'm so sorry to hear that, but just maybe be there as a sounding board to encourage you, to pray with you, but also to help you think about how you're going to cover your expenses and getting everything in order. Is that okay?
That sounds wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. This is not going to cost you anything. We're going to cover the cost of it, but this will be somebody who can walk alongside you in this process. So you stay on the line. Robert Youngblood will get your information, and we'll get one of our certified Christian financial counselors in touch with you. God bless you. To Texas, Sylvia, go right ahead. How can I assist you?
Remarried. And my husband's deceased wife died in October, and he has a parcel of land and about 40 minutes away from us. And I want to know if I can still, since I'm married, if I can still collect my ex-husband's Social Security that I was getting, and he can collect from his deceased wife.
Yeah. Generally speaking, I would reach out to the Social Security Administration on this, Sylvia, just to go over your specific situation. But generally speaking, once you remarry, you cannot receive benefits on your former spouse's record.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I just wanted to check.
Yeah. So there are a few exceptions to that, and that's why I'd reach out to the SSA at ssa.gov. Yes. But generally speaking, that's probably what you're going to find. Sylvia, thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. Lynn, I'm sorry we didn't get to your question. I know you're about to travel overseas and wanting to know the best way to handle foreign currency. If you want to stay right there, Robert, we'll see if we can get you scheduled to be first on tomorrow's broadcast. Thanks for being on the program today. Well, folks, yeah, we've covered a lot of ground today. You know, I think the big idea is we all want to be found faithful as stewards of God's resources. How do we do that? Well, we don't take our cues from the world. If we do, we're going to get caught up in the comparison trap, and we might try to find our security in money. We might even try to pursue money for success or even for significance. You know what? We're not going to find it there. Our true treasure is in God Himself. He is our abundance. And one of His blessings and gifts is the financial resources he's entrusted to us. So let's hold it loosely, give it generously, save it appropriately, and enjoy it along the way. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. On behalf of my team, Robert Sutherland, Robert Youngblood, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. Thanks for joining us today. Would you come back and join us tomorrow? Lord willing, we'll do it all over again and see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.